Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
You may please sit up in heavenly places. Yeah, hallelujah. Amen. I'll admit this service a little bit of question and answer after the long series, but I have something in my mind to share with us. And if you have questions and questions you can ask, then by the Spirit of God, we'll be able to provide answers. Amen. And trust that we'll be able to pray. Glory to Jesus. Jesus has paid the price for our sins. Is there anyone here that is not aware of this, that Jesus has paid the price for our sins? Is there anyone? You are not aware. You are not aware, like, I didn't know Jesus has paid the price. I'm not sure. But I have a question that will trigger the discussion for tonight. And the question is simple. Since Jesus has paid the price for our sins, well, let me start by asking, do people suffer the consequences for their sins as believers? Do people suffer the consequences of their sins as believers? Glory to God. Yeah, question time, answer. So give microphone to those who want to answer so that they can. I intentionally start early like this so that we can see what to push. No shadow you will light up, mountain you will climb up, coming up to me. There's no wall you won't keep down.
No.
You will tear down, coming. There's no shadow you will light up.
Coming after me.
There's no wall you won't kick down.
There's no wall you won't kick down. Lie you won't tear down. Coming after me.
Okay, first person questions. Okay, yes.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes. Okay, I think you always teach us this principle of seed time and harvest, and then I have a scriptural backing, Hebrews 10, verse 26 to 27. So I don't know if I should read it out.
Yes, maybe read it, put it on the screen so that we see.
Okay, so it says, for if we sin sinfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. 27, please. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fair indignation, which will devour the adversaries. So.
Okay. any other person. Why are you clapping? I'm supposed to be the judge in this matter. I don't know why you're clapping. Yes. Here, no, look at her. Then, first.
Praise God.
Do you have scriptural backings?
Yes.
Good. I like this.
Okay, so believers, we tend to face the consequences of our sins because the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews 12, verse 12, that for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and he chastises said every son. So it's like the love of God bringing us back to correction. Not that we are facing the wrath of the devil because of our sin, but it's God's love that is bringing us back to the right path. That's why we suffer the consequences.
Wow, that's serious. Okay. We'll take just two. Since there are two people around that area, then we'll...
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, for me, we suffer the consequences here.
Oh, everybody's agreeing that they suffer the consequences. Okay.
And, okay, but with God, you have no record of your sin. But here, you suffer the consequences. More like if you steal and they catch you and they tear your face. It's here. If you get... If you do fornication, you get pregnant, it's you that will suffer it. But like, this sin itself with God, there's no record.
Okay. Okay, somebody else. Last person.
So, I think we have the same, we are viewing it from the same point.
Perspective.
So, before God, the Bible says all our sins is for, he does not remember them. But we are not only dealing with God, we also deal with men. So, we have the constitutions. So before God, he's forgiven and everything is fine. But if the constitution demands that based on what the offense you've committed, the person should be sentenced to prison, then he faces it. And let's say somebody has lived a sinful life, drug addiction, does not cancel the fact that God has forgiven you, but your damaged kidney, everything will still lead to death.
And you can die before your time.
Yes. So,
put your hands together for everybody. I actually felt like hugging all of you one by one. You answered the questions, and I like the fact that some of us were able to answer with scriptural references. So I'm going to say a few things here, and I think it will help us. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, let me start from there. The good news that Jesus has paid the price for our sins. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his what? Grace. Glory to God. So Jesus Christ came as the propitiation for our sin. Anytime you hear a word you don't understand during the teaching, write it down. Then you go back to check. Now, when you check with the regular English dictionary, you may not get the best meaning. You will need to check with your Bible dictionary. Are we here together? Or your concordance? Do you know what a concordance is? Okay, if you don't know what a concordance is, just wave your hand. Say, I don't know what a concordance is. Don't be very bold now. Why are you hiding? Yes. Okay. A concordance is a compilation of Bible words and their meanings. So you have something like a Bible, you have a Bible dictionary, then you have a Bible concordance. In that concordance, it will show you the meaning of a particular word, either in the Hebrew or in the Greek. And it is actually very easy to get today. Unlike before, when you come to a pastor's office, you will see big, big Bibles, like big ones, strong, exhaustive concordance. You will look around and you probably will see Matthew Henry's commentary. You will see Navy Topical Bible. Those of us who have stayed with people who are pastors and all that, you would see big, big books like that. Are we here together? But today is very easy. All I just need to do is to go on Google and I'll just speak meaning of conform in Strong's dictionary. as used in Romans 12, verse what? 2. And it will just take me straight. Try. Let's try. This is very practical. Let's try. Is anybody trying it? So we want to check the meaning of the word conform. Is that not? Okay. You don't even have to go this long. If you just put conform, Strong's word, it will show you. Romans, should just type Romans. I'm teaching you how to study the Bible so that you don't run away from words. Are we here together? Romans 12, 2, conform, Strong's. That means we're using Strong's concordance. So see what it does. It is more reliable. I like this one. It's very reliable. You see godrules.net. Can you see it? Godrules.net. A logo, round logo with a yellow cross inside. Can you see it? Can you see it? Godrules.net. Can you see anything like that? Huh? Can you see anything like that? You've seen it. Can we do it live so that everybody gets to see it? Okay. So just type in Romans 12 to conform Strong's. So go up. This is Bible apps. You can now see. Go up. You would see. Can you see that? Godrules.net. Can you see it? So click now. Joseph, let's click. So when you click, Bible study is very easy. That's the difference between reading the Bible and what? Studying the Bible. Are we here together? So you click, see conform, be not conformed. So I want to know the meaning of this word conform. According to Strong's exhaustive concordance. There are many other concordance that you can use, but Strong's is like, it's strong, it's trusted, like, exactly. So look at what it means now. So what does it mean? The word, pronounce this one. How do you pronounce this? So schematizo, is that not? Matizo, as it were. But don't bother if you pronounce very well. You're not a Hebrew person or a Jewish person. But what is the meaning? So you're coming to know what does it mean. Let's start reading a little bit. To fashion alike, conform to the same pattern, conform to, fashion self according to. Then it comes here. To conform oneself, that is one's mind and character, to another pattern, fashions oneself according to. So when the Bible says, be not conformed to the world, say conform, what does it mean? It's simply saying that do not fashion yourself according to the world. Do not pattern yourself according to the world. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? But be transformed. I want to know the meaning of transform. So I will click on this again. And it will open it up for me. And the word transform is what? Metamorphose. Many of us are used to that now. Is that? So what does it mean? Literally or figuratively, metamorphose, it means change, transfigure, transform, to change into another form. In other words, be not fashioned in like a pattern to the world, but be changed into another form by the renewing of your mind. Can you get it now? So in other words, when my mind is renewed, I will be changed into another form. What form? Let Christ be formed in you. Because the word of God transforms me to the likeness of the Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying here right now? So you check, you're reading your Bible and you can find the meaning of that word. And it's easy for you to understand. Blow it up, Joseph. It's easy for you to understand what exactly the word of God is saying. So you are not going to be a novice when you want to study the word of God. You have your phone. It's very easy. You can study it and be sure that you know what you are reading. You're understanding it step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept. There are certain words you will find in the Bible and you're asking yourself, what does that really mean? Renew, but be transformed by the renewing. Now that will show you the word. Remember, if you're dealing with New Testament, it is written in what? In what? New Testament, most part of this one will be what?
Greek.
Old Testament will be what?
Hebrew.
Do you understand? So here you'll be saying, what is the Greek word? But in the other one, you'll be saying, what is the Hebrew word? So whenever they talk about Hebrew words, they're talking most about what? Old Testament. When they talk about Greek word, they're talking most about what? New Testament. So you see that word now, renew. Be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means a renewal, renovation, complete change for the better. Be transformed, so we can say, be not fashioned in likeness to the manner of the people of the world, but be changed into another character as a result of the what? Why? I don't know what you're pressing. You're just typing things. We're on one place, we're in two places. You need to be transformed. Praise God. So, but be what? Transformed now by the complete change for the better of your mind. So you can read it like that, and it will be very easy for you to understand it. Are we here together? So this is what happens whenever you say you're doing a Bible study. Bible study is not open the Bible and say, be not transformed by coming. Then when you get to this point, you stop and you start meditating. Conform to this world. What is in the nature of the world? How do they behave? What do they do? What are the things common to the people of the world? Then God says, he does not want me to be like that, but I should be transformed. The word transform is metamorphore. And in English, it brings us to understanding metamorphosis. How many of us know what metamorphosis is? From egg to what? Lava. From lava to what? From pupa, butterfly, imago, whatever it is. So you see that God is saying that I know that your change will be gradual. That's what he's trying to say. So you look like you're at the egg stage, but you move to the lava. From lava to the pupa. From pupa, you become a butterfly. In other words, God, if you start thinking deep about this one verse, you can actually study this one verse as breakfast in the spirit. Just one verse. And experience a kind of refreshing. Because God is saying, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your word, mind. Are we here together? That's how you read the Bible, step by step, line upon line, when you're doing a study, verse by verse or chapter by chapter. Then when you're doing a character study, I want to read everything about the man David. So I start studying about the man David, why David was this. I read the whole of the book, maybe of Samuel, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, to study and get to know things about David. You're trying to know his personality, his character, his behavior, his attitude, the way he relates, the things that he does. All these are the ways to study the Bible. Are we here together? Yes. I think that must have helped somebody. Maybe that's the first somebody's question when coming to service today. So let's move. The believer suffers the consequence of your sin. But God loves me. If God loves me, why do I have to suffer the consequence? But everybody has already answered it. The reason is simple, because we live in this world, and because we live in this world, there is a system of justice. Are we here together? And the principle of seed time and harvest. Second service on Sunday, is that not? Seed time and harvest, it applies. So that if you sow a seed, you will reap the harvest. It is so serious consequence that a believer can actually die because of a particular thing, but not because God has judged the person to death. He loves you, but yet you have done something that has brought you to death. A beloved child of God, as a result of carelessness or mistake, can eventually get pregnant, and while in the hospital bed praying and saying, oh God, oh God, a quack doctor will chop off something in her body and she will die. It is the consequence of her sin. But she had cried to God. It doesn't mean that she's judged to eternal damnation. But she has cut short the whole of her destiny. And every single day we see people living like that. But this is death. But many people in their lives today, the consequences of sin takes them steps backwards. It takes them, it might not lead to death, but they are step backwards. They are falling short of the glory of their destiny. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And the Bible says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, when people sin, they fall short. The initial sin of Adam fall short of the glory of God, eternal death. But this kind of sin I'm talking here, it falls short of the glory of the quality of destiny God actually planned for you. So what you were supposed to become, you will not be able to attain because of that. So this is Gehazi, who's supposed to carry a quadruple of the anointing of Elisha. But because of the sin of greed, Gehazi ended up a leprous man. So he has fallen short of his glorious destiny. Samson was supposed to be a judge. As a result of the consequence of Samson's sin, they plucked out his eyes. He was a blind man. He started grinding at the mill, and Samson lost the opportunity to showcase the glory of God as a result of what he had done. It was the consequence of his sin. It didn't stop the fact that Samson was a judge. He prayed and God answered. His hair began to grow, but his eyes was not restored. He didn't go back home. Just as he prayed, everything happened to him. I don't know if anybody's getting what I'm sharing tonight. Why I'm sharing this is so that you do not take certain things lightly and say, okay, shall we continue in sin that grace may have power? As he said, God forbid. How can it be that those of us who have accepted Jesus, who were dead, were buried in baptism, by this baptism we're immersed into the life of God. He said, why will we come back and live therein any longer? Know you not that so many of us as were crucified with Christ were crucified with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also ought to rise and live in newness of life. I'm a Christian. I stole. I landed in prison. And from there, I still worship in prison. I prayed in prison. But somehow, maybe due to an infection, I died in prison. Is it the will of God for that man to die in prison? Did God plan for that man to waste in the prison? But as a result of the consequence of his sin, no matter how glorious the destiny God had planned for that man, he had done something that had cut him short. Are we getting what we're saying here today? And that's the reason why we must not live like unbelievers who say, it doesn't matter, I just want to catch my phone. No, you have to be careful. And sometimes it gets so serious that the people in the Corinthian church were taking communion and they began to take it anyhow and behave anyhow. And Paul said, that is why some people are sick amongst you and some even died. The things I teach you sometimes, they are not very common because not everybody wants to sound that way. Because sometimes some people want to sound very, very appealing. Some other people are sounding maybe to the extreme on one side. But I try to help you see from both sides that as soon as God loves you and he cares about you and is interested in your success, he wants to see that you have a glorious life and a beautiful life. And many times we say things like, no mistake I make can stop the purpose of God for my life. You have to be very wise and smart, the kind of quotes. The purpose of God for Samson's life was very clear. His mistake truncated this. That's why whenever I'm reading and I get through all those motivational nice books, I get to those places and I start and I smile. I say, listen to me, you do not understand. Seed time, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, they will not cease. Is anybody getting what I'm saying today? You need to understand, that's why I usually will say that if people begin to, there are illustrations that I can give and it will help you understand better. Then you see sometimes there are certain things happening to a person. It is a warning from God to adjust, because I love you and I don't want you to end like this. Amen. But listen, no, it's normal thing in life. No, I'm going to show you something today and I think it will help us a whole lot. So a born-again Christian who falls into adultery can also lose his family as a man. The wife can choose to say, I'm going, I'm packing my bag. He has begged and he has cried. And she said no. And she files for divorce and he will lose his family. The woman has gone. His mistake, the consequence. Are you getting what I'm trying to say now? That's it. It has happened. Oh, sometimes the person can do that and contract a sexually transmitted disease. And he will live with it, or she will live with it. We will organize miracle service. Yes, mercy always prevails for people. But some people, I don't know why the mercy, I will ask God when we get to heaven, why it didn't work. No, of course, they are not. I can't answer all the questions. But I know that if I see Jesus face to face, if I don't blow when I see him, because I just always imagine, I always tell you, when I imagine when I see him, whether I will just blow or evaporate or I will just become air, I don't know. But just standing before my Lord, I don't know if I'll be able to stand or kneel or bow. Let him just disappear me. I don't want to stand before you and look at you. I don't know how it will feel. Are you getting what I'm saying here? But what I'm trying to say tonight is that you need to have an understanding as a believer, so that the way we live our lives, we understand that we have a high calling. He says, for you know, brethren, the nature of your calling. The nature of your calling. There is a calling upon your life. It has a nature. It is a special calling. It's a holy calling. It's a high calling. A calling that brings you to sit together with him in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. He says, you know, brethren, your calling. If you know the weight of this calling, it will be foolishness, or like a pig putting a nose ring, gold ring, in the nose of a swine, because he doesn't even know the value. It's gold, but he doesn't know the value. It will be like what the Bible says in the book of Psalms. It says, like a beast, a man in the place of honor and does not know, is like a beast that perish. In other words, the best way to say it, I'll try. I've been saying I will avoid using some kind of I'll try. Like, anytime, only to currently. You know that kind of thing. Like someone that we honor, but is not even honoring himself. Christianity is honor that God has given us the privilege to share of his divine nature. Wow. What a glorious life. Then imagine someone, because you do not know the weight and the value attached to that, you now say, it doesn't matter, Jerry. Hey! That's why we call people to come and understand what it is and who they are in Christ Jesus. Is anybody getting what I'm saying today? So believers suffer the consequence of their sins while here on the face of the earth if they do something that is wrong, and God is doing it so that he can train them and prepare their hearts so that they will position themselves even for eternal life. The reason is because if somebody begins to find themselves in a situation where you're living, you see, the one he read is another extreme case. Where he read now is another extreme case in the book of Hebrew, and maybe I'll be able to talk about that somewhere. So the consequence of sin is death. Romans chapter 6 verse 23. As a sinner, we deserve death and eternal punishment, separation from God. But God doesn't want to do that, so he has saved us. And now that he has saved us, he has called us with a holy calling. And he wants us to live according to the standard of the life that he has called us to. Are we here together? But for any reason, maybe things happen and a person begins to live below that standard or begins to live in a way, God continues to call you to correction. God continues to give you opportunity for a change. God continues to say, I really want you to get better. That's why. Do you know that it is possible for somebody's phone to get missing because God sees they are too addicted to their phone? You say, no, God is still loving. Like, yo, but your parents can do that. They see that you are not getting serious with what you're doing again. They don't hate you, but they take away something they know that you love. Then you now look up and say, oh. How many times have you seen people pressing their phone like that? And they're so busy, then you just pick it up, their attention. You talk, they won't answer. You talk, hello, they're not listening. But as soon as you pick the phone, sometimes when he wants to get your attention, he knows what to do. But don't always be so deaf that he will take certain things to happen before God gets your attention. I don't know if anybody's getting this teaching tonight. It is important to understand as a believer. I want to share a few things with us. I just hope that okay. Sorry. It is important to know as a believer that there's something we call the universal consequence of sin, natural consequences of sin. And all these they apply. The universal consequence of sin is very simple. Since Adam fell, he opened the floodgate of sickness, sin, and disease. It's a universal consequence. In other words, people fall ill, true or false. That's the fall of Adam. That was what he brought. It was a natural, it is the universal consequence of sin. As a result of the sin of Adam, by one man's sin, the Bible says that all men partook of that. So a woman will have to give birth with certain dimensions and levels of birth pang as a result of the fall of the Adamic body. This body, the fall of that original body now becoming this Adamic body. It is just universal. Am I making sense? Oh, of course, I know a lot of ladies. Oh, I had supernatural child, but yes, that's true. Faith can conquer a whole lot of things and help you. But of course, you know that this is a natural phenomenon. Something that happens to every human being. Maybe the exemption is by faith. Are we here together? Yes. So there is also the natural consequence. We live in this world, seed time and harvest. And that's why we warn people. If you waste your productive years, when God strategically positions you for a kind of favor in life, if Satan succeeds to distract you from that favor and you miss that season, if in God's calendar you are supposed to achieve something at the age of 27 and Satan succeeds to distract you because he senses somewhere that something good is coming to you and he succeeds to distract you at 27, you might eventually get that thing at 35. Or maybe 40, some people may not get it till 60. And there are certain things that we ought to enjoy in our lives but time, as a result of the consequence of our misbehaviors, we are prolonging the favors that should come to our life. We are prolonging the reality. Oh my God, this is very simple. It's just like somebody that, as a result of God, you have been praying, God, I refuse to be poor. I will never be poor. I'm going to be wealthy. Then in the agenda of God, God has seen that there is a book you will write. When you write that book, and at the age of 25 or 30, when you write that book, in less than 2 years, it will spread everywhere across the world. And you will become wealthy all of a sudden. Then you start procrastination. 30, you didn't write. God, I want to be. God says your portfolio for wealth is inside of you. Is inside me. So every time you are praying, God says, no, the problem is not with anybody. You have been caught in the web of procrastination. And procrastination is just what is holding your wealth. The day you wake up and you write that book, I will recreate a season for you. So many times when people are blaming God, they are not quick to ask themselves, am I in alignment? Is there something that I am not paying attention to? Is God saying something that I am not listening to that is affecting me? And one of the ways God will be showing you signs is that from time to time, the picture of that book will come to your mind again. And your flesh will say, it's not easy, just relax. And that's when one distraction will come from nowhere. And they will say it's an opportunity, it's an open door. Whereas that thing is not an open door. Because not every open door is a door ordained by God. Some of them are just distractions to cut you away from where God has planned for you. And that's why we have to be intelligent spiritually. You must have spiritual intelligence to understand what is happening per time. God says that we redeem the time because the days are evil. So that guy is facing the consequence of his procrastination. And the consequence is poverty. And one day he continues to complain that, and why am I? No, I don't even know. Brother, you are where you are. Because the book that ought to come out, you are procrastinating. Sometimes it's laziness. Because some things are not seen, they are weights. And every weight will make you wait. You have to be aware that if Satan cannot get you with sin, he will tie a weight. And usually people are not bothered about weight because it is not sin. But the problem of weight is that weight will make you wait. Am I communicating? I want to pray for somebody under the sound of my voice. Everything Satan is bringing as a distraction, so that you will not see the prize that is set before you, so that you will not be able to do what God is saying to do part time to enter the fullness of your glory, I declare in the name of Jesus, may the Holy Ghost distract your distractions. May the Holy Spirit distract your distractions. In the name of Jesus, may He bring you to focus. In the name of Jesus. Ananias and Sapphira suffered a faith as a consequence of their lying to the Holy Spirit when the church began. And guess what the Bible says? The Bible says great fear came upon everybody and they behaved themselves. In other words, Ananias and Sapphira were set as an example so that the community of believers will be alert. Why? Because they were almost going to start relaxing. Everybody will start doing the same thing. And God had to do that thing at that moment. As he said, it's not God that did it. God, whether you say it's God or not God, every detail of our lives. There are many teachings. There are many errors that came out from the Word of Faith movement. Beautiful movement. I believe in Word of Faith. I teach Word of Faith and all that. But there are any errors, especially from the Western world, that came out of that movement. And if you are not very careful to observe, you just discover that people are just saying things the way it is sweet. But if you come in reality, in pragmatic reasoning, those things don't apply. And that's why a lot of believers are frustrated. Because they're not saying, but I'm applying my faith. I mean, you're applying your faith in the wrong direction. Faith is always applied based on the will, the plan, and the purposes of God. Is anybody getting what I'm trying to say here? A few things. So we live in a world of cause and effect, sowing and reaping. The Bible warns us against all manner of things that we're not supposed to do. So he's asking a question in Proverbs chapter 6 verse 27. He says, can a person put fire in his bosom and not be burnt? In other words, you cannot put fire in your bosom and not be what? Burnt. So God is saying, if you sow the seed of that, you will get the harvest of that. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here right now? If you waste all your productive years investing a lot for Satan, when you should have served him, remember now your creator in the days of your youth. By the time the productive years is gone, and you eventually come into the revelation of knowing who Jesus is, there are many things you will not meet again in life. Because certain things were designed to happen according to times and seasons. To everything, there is a time, a season to every purpose under heaven. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying here now. To everything, there is a season, rather, a time to every purpose under heaven. So if God has said this thing is supposed to happen in 2015, when you are at social stage, if you follow my divine plan and will, if you miss it by getting distracted and many other things, there will be another thing that you will meet in the future in time. But that one, somebody else will be replaced to do that thing. Because God will not always miss out in getting a perfect replacement when a person decides not to align. He cannot be stranded. And that's the reason we always pray for alignment. And say, God, help me align at the center of your will. Let me be the one that will do what you have said to be done. When the men said they will not go for battle, God went to look for Deborah. Is that not? And assured them that this glory will go to the women, because the idea is for a man to do this thing. But since you are not willing, I will shift it to this other side. And it was successfully done. At the end of the day, it was Jael that pierced that king, and the glory went to the women instead of the man. The men, rather. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? I don't know. Is he making any sense to the one at the back? Very good. God will allow certain consequences to remain in some people's lives to teach them the heinous nature of sin and to remind them to always depend on God. Sin is a serious matter before God. And God will not overlook something just because you say, I am the child of God. No. He's not an irresponsible father. He will not judge you to condemnation, but he will discipline you to correction. But remember that discipline too is not convenient. Boy, come here. Why did you break the plate in the house? Kneel down, raise up your hand and close your eyes. By the time you are kneeling down, does the father want to kill that boy? Does he hate that child? He loves the child, is that not? But that boy will raise up his hand. Is it convenient to raise up your hand like that? After about 7 minutes, the weight of the hand is on the child. After about 15 minutes, you are sweating. Does the father hate that child? But what's that child going through? Discipline. So that his head will be what? Do you understand what I'm saying now? Because ordinarily, that child will do that, and when next time he gets on with this, he will do it again. Next time, he'll do it again. And God is saying, no, I'm not an irresponsible father. My desire is to shape you into the image. My desire is to help you come into conformity. It might look tough sometimes when a correction is coming, and God says that no, correction will always come. I correct, I discipline, and I don't just discipline and correct for any reason. No, I only correct and discipline those that I love. And when discipline and correction comes, it's as a result of something that you have missed the mark. Transgression. You have done something wrong. The unbeliever is not undergoing discipline when he's going through sinful living. What will await the unbeliever is called what? Judgment. Judgment is different from discipline. Judgment, ideally, in the sense of God's dealing, does not have anything to do with correction for restoration. But discipline always is for correction for restoration. Do you get the difference? Discipline is correction for what? Restoration. So the mother tells the child to lay down and say, stand up. Come. Can you see this plate? It will always break if you throw it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you say, yes. Next time, will you come to this place? He says, no. Okay. It's well with you, yeah? Tomorrow morning, I'll still pay your school fees. I'll still give you food to eat. I'll still take care of you. I'll still be glad and excited to see you do well. But you have raised your hand and closed your eyes. And your muscles have gone through a lot of suffering for it. Just to tell you that that's not how to behave. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? But you see, these things are difficult to explain. Because as I speak right now, somebody might be going through a discipline. But you don't know when it is discipline. And when it is as if it's just happening naturally. You don't know when what you are going through is as a result of the consequence of something that you have done. Sometimes it's easy to spot it. But sometimes it's not easy to spot it. When it has to do with government, you can spot it. And say, oh, I'm being punished for this. Some 2 years back or 1 year. No, not 2 years. Just the last year, early this year. Early this year. I was going through Yaba. So, I saw cars turning down the bridge. And I turned. Then I realized that the men in the other car were military men, and the last man guys just showed up from nowhere with police guys everywhere. And I was like, and my Google map said at 200 meters, turn left. But I didn't even know 200 meters was in front. So I turned. And sincerely, I didn't know. As I drive today on the road, if I am driving and it's supposed to turn somewhere, I'm not sure. You cannot convince me. I've had times where somebody stays in the car and he says, sir, turn now. I've been in Lagos for some years. I don't know how many years you have been in Lagos. The last time I turned, they asked me, will you pay some money and let's just release your car? I said, no, I want to go to court. Hey. There are certain courts that will court you. And we eventually waited and the magistrate appeared. And instead of paying 150,000, they asked me to pay. After the magistrate listened to me and heard that I was a lawyer, she said I should pay 250,000. I paid 250,000 in tears. You know those kind of things when you get back home and your son misbehaves? You just transfer your aggression to yourself. Behave yourself. What's your answer? You will transfer the aggression. Do you get what I'm saying here? Yes. You will try immediately. There's a way your wife will say, are you going to eat? You say, what is the use of food in this life? What has food done to anybody? That was the situation. ignorance of the fact that I wasn't aware of that. In fact, the problem was now, oh, so you are even. In other words, the way the discipline a new babe in Christ will get is different from the discipline that you that have been in Christ for 15 years and 20 years will get. I cannot take a newborn baby that is crying. I will see the person, stop crying, stop crying. But if an adult is crying, say, why are you crying? What's wrong with you? Come on, shut up. Go. If it's not, you slap him and say, go and sit down. Because why are you crying? If a newborn baby mistakenly, I use the leg, kick the cup, and it just, you see, I hope he didn't get injured. But imagine an adult comes around, and as a result of watching cartoon, and he's playing, maybe he's 10 years old, and he's playing, watching cartoon, and just, come here. I don't know if you get what I'm saying here now. So the discipline that this one will get, you would have loved to discipline this one, but where this one is now, we cannot discipline this one. We will still be doing shere. But this one will get discipline. Am I making sense here right now? As a result of what that one has done. Because the expectation is that the person who has known more, the person who is more exposed, who is grown, there are certain things God does not expect. And that's why the way a new babe is going to cry when he does something that is wrong, maybe a babe in Christ gets born again, and for whatever reason, anything you can think, and maybe the lady finds herself in fornication and she's saying, God, I'm really sorry. If somebody who has been in Christ for 7 years finds himself in fornication, he can enter 7 days dry fasting. And you'll be asking yourself that, is it not just confession that God will forgive you? But you know what the person is saying? I betray trust. We have been on this thing for too long. How can I be there? It means that the person is not taking it lightly. Say, no, why? How? How did I get here? Because the person understands the power of relationship, the power of trust, and the fact that we have been on this journey for a while. And he also remembers that track record will always count. Then the other person who is a careless Christian, even if it's 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, he says, my brother, there's not nobody know if I have it. He does not have track record. There are certain dimensions of grace that cannot operate in his life. Never. Because every time God looks at him, he sees him yet with the eyes of the little baby. And as long as a son remains a baby, no matter the inheritance, the father will never give it to him. I want to call somebody out of being a baby and coming to the place of stature, so that you will understand that God is calling you to a higher place, so that you can understand what God has put on you, the kind of honor that he has put on you as a child of God. And as you are growing daily in him, you are growing with consciousness that he desires that you will become everything he wants you to be, and you will pursue it with all your life. There are certain things I can do and walk away. Well, Paul said, I will not. No, I can't do that. Why? He said, because they are unlawful, but they are not expedient. Those things, anybody can do it, but it does not benefit anybody. I will never find myself there. Certain things are not sinful, but I will not do them. For the level that I operate, and the eyes seeing and learning from me, but it's not sinful. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? When we come to spiritual maturity, you understand that there's a way to judge this spiritual maturity thing. Glory to Jesus. So, a lot of people find themselves in situations like that and they are complaining. Disciplinary consequence can also come where God is disciplining a person. In Proverbs chapter 3, 11 to 12, see what the Bible says there. I just want to talk about this a little bit. I'll take questions from last week and we're going to close today. I really want to close early because of our midnight groaning. So just follow me. Proverbs chapter 3 says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his word. He said, don't despise, don't take it lightly. Don't take it and say, this thing just happened. No. For whom the Lord does what? So a person just got born again today. And when the person gets born again today, as a result of that, maybe through, because of Christianity and your faith, you get back home and maybe you're from a Muslim background and your dad just gets angry at you and slaps you and say, hey, I saw a Bible app on your phone. What are you doing? You say, I saw you, I heard you. What are you doing? Slap you. Pa, po. And the new believer shrugs and feels,
oh, Lord, church, my mother, I cannot suffer again.
They did not tell you about Christianity. Christianity is a call to sacrifice. Christianity is a call to say, if you kill me, you kill me. Christianity is a call to say that, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. At that spot, that new believer can be offended. Then he will be likened to the seed that fell on a particular part of the soil, where as a result of offense for the word's sake, the seed did not germinate. The Bible says it fell away. So I don't know who's new in the faith, and maybe due to challenges, you were trusting for a particular thing and the money did not come. I say, God, I'm not serving you again. Hey, calm down. That's not how they do it. Christianity is a call to sacrifice. So in the book of Hebrews, he said, how many of you have struggled with sin to the point of shedding your blood? In other words, have you told yourself, I will never do this thing? Instead, I die. So when people say, Pastor, I'm struggling really hard with masturbation, I said, you have not seen it to the point of death. If you equate the act to dying, and you remember the love and the passion that you have for Jesus, the urge will die. The urge is still strong because your love is not on fire. The more your love increases, the more the urge and the desires die. Because there is something stronger inside of you that is telling you that there is a depth, there is a relationship. If you love me, keep my commandment. You say, no, I will not be there. And Satan says, no, I cannot be there. I would rather die if I'm going to blow as a result of this, what they call it now, passion. Let me blow. Brothers, you will sleep and wake up tomorrow. Your body will be fine. Don't let any devil deceive anybody. Is anybody getting what I'm saying today? So the church in Corinth, they had a challenge. A particular man that was sleeping with his mother after the father died. And he took it normal. Then Paul said, what? He said, you guys tolerated it in your church? No. You should never tolerate. I can't allow that boy. Please discipline him. Don't put him in the congregation with everybody. No, he's going to make everybody feel like it's a normal thing. But did Paul hate that guy? No, but that guy needed discipline. Then one time in scripture, Paul now asked after him and said, what of that guy? How is he going? I think at that point he was fine. Everything had been done. Imagine Paul did not say anything and just laughed by. There will now be a congregation of brothers sleeping with their mothers. Why God disciplines and corrects certain things is so that it will not become a norm in the body. So that everybody will not start living and practicing that. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here right now? So you must understand that there is that holiness. The holiness of God is so beautiful that his eye would not behold his children living and behaving anyhow. It is as a result of that he corrects us. Child of God, don't take correction as hatred. Don't take correction as God doesn't like me. Don't take discipline as if God is not interested in me. Why will he do that to me? No, he loves you. The reason he's doing it is so that he will present to himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And because you are part of that church, we will not say, because you know sometimes when you put soap on your face and you're washing your eyes, soap will enter the eyes. It's not because you hate the eyes, it's because you want to wash the eyes. You want to wash the face. Soap eventually enters. Then you now take water again to wash it. It is the word of God he will still use to wash. He will still use to cleanse. Is anybody getting what I'm trying to say here now? So to wrap up today, I want to challenge everyone. I want to encourage everyone. Regardless of whatever it is that you are going through, always understand that God loves you. Always understand that he cares. Always understand that he's interested in your very... In fact, the best that God wants the best for your life. Anything that is lesser than that is not the plan of God for your life. God wants the best for you. Is anybody with me on this? Are you sure you are with me on this? Can you say to yourself, God wants the best for me. God wants the best for me. He loves me. His corrections, they are not grievous. I accept with all my heart the correction of God. So to apply God's discipline, you must not faint when God reproves you. Don't faint. When God corrects you, don't faint. It's not a time to draw away from Him. It's a time to draw closer. Because He loves you. It's not a time to run away. It's a time to get closer and say, God, help me. I cannot do it by myself. I cannot do it alone. I need you. Strengthen me. Is anybody getting what I'm trying to say here now? You're a believer as a result of misbehaviors. You got some terrible sickness. And you say, if God is there, why can't I know Him? Wait. When you were doing what you were, you should be saying, God, I'm sorry. And I trust you because I know you can heal me. I'm sincerely sorry. Because if you do not acknowledge that you have done anything wrong, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But he that acknowledges that sin and says, I'm sorry. The love of God in an extraordinary measure will now pour on you. You will be able to feel it. You'll be able to sense it, that this is the love of God. So despite all the things that I am going through, God still loves me. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? To apply the discipline of God, you must remember that He always treats His children with love, even if the case of what you are dealing with is very severe. Wait, let me ask a question. When we go to the grocery, okay, many of us, for those who are married, listen, if you go to the grocery store, you will go somewhere to buy something, and you see other people's children everywhere misbehaving. All their children are misbehaving everywhere around the grocery store, jumping up and down. Do you go there and start, come on, look, look. Why? But do you love children? But would you beat those children? Why? But it is your own child, and all of a sudden your child begins to jump up and down and scatter something or kick somebody. What do you do? Do you still love children? The way you love children, the children, is that the same love you have for your children? The one for your children, is it different from that one? It's greater. But you love children. God is love. He does not love all of us the same way. We, His children, we are called the beloved. And that's the reason why others are doing it. He has paid the final price for everybody. The day they accept it, fine. But if you as a believer, you venture into that thing, He will call you and say, don't do that. Why? I love you so much, I cannot watch you do that. The love with which God has loved the believer is not the same thing with the same love for the unbeliever. That's a general love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. But we have been called into the beloved. Love, beloved. It's different. So He has permission to correct me. He has rights to talk to me because He is my Father. The reason you didn't deal with those children, even though they were doing the wrong things, is because you are not their parent. But if it's my parent, you can handle me. The Bible says, whom the Father, the relationship is a father relationship, loves, He chastises. The son that He loves, He will scourge. The word scourging is very tough. In other words, He's saying there are certain times where the discipline can even lead. I don't like to preach these messages sometimes. The discipline can lead to physical death, so that your soul will be saved. Because if He leaves you like that, you will eventually stray and you can miss it. And that's the reason why sometimes God corrects us. He will go the extra mile. How can somebody finish serving God for 40, 50 years of their life, and right in front, something will happen? They will now denounce God and throw away and their self. Before the day it will happen, I will debt you. I don't want to say I will kill you. So that the Bible says the righteous man is taken. Good men are taken away from the earth.
But no man considers that God has taken them away so that they will not face the sorrow that is to come. Because there is something else that is coming, that if it happens, it can affect the faith of many others. I will take you away. I will not let that happen. That is not death. It's taken away. Isaiah, if you can find that scripture in Isaiah, it makes a lot of sense. I think it's Isaiah somewhere 57 or something. I don't know. I can't remember. Righteous men die and good people perish and all that. It's fine. So is somebody getting what I'm saying here right now? God is not a father who is careless. He's careful enough to discipline his children. He loves us. Joseph was sold into slavery. Joseph went into prison for doing the right thing. True or false? Joseph would have said, may I not do the right thing in my life again? In me. Oh, from today, mama parole on him. But no, Joseph stayed. And at the end of the day, we see the reward. Is that not? His life became glorious. His life became beautiful. His destiny became one that is worthy of emulation. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the things happening around your life. But I sense that there are certain people that are concerned and they're saying, does God really love me? Look at what I am going through. Is God really there? Is it possible that he has even left me or forsaken me? He said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. I love you so much. And that's the reason why I will go the extra mile to correct you. Instead of allowing the wolf eat you, I will take you away. I will not permit that. But God, you can protect the wolf from eating me. I can. But there are certain things I also do. God has a limit to how he interferes in the affairs of men. Because there is a law of territories around here. Is anybody getting what I'm trying to say here now? If a person decides not to listen and they find themselves into something dangerous and it destroys their life, and that person is a believer, we will understand it better by and by. But that glorious destiny you should have lived on earth, that you will get reward for in the by and by, no more destiny. Why? You cut yourself short here as a result of your misbehavior, though you were saved. But God decided that, well, no problem. You will get to the other place and they will tell you that you will suffer loss. Why loss? Because you were supposed to do something that will bring about a reward. But you were busy doing other things that was going to lead to your destruction. But in my mercy, I decided to take you. It's better you see loss in eternity than to be lost in hell. Because you believed in me. Is anybody get what I'm saying tonight? So I want to charge every single person in church tonight to understand. Yes. To understand that God loves you. Cares about you. But no matter how God loves you, if you go about and start doing certain things, you will face the consequences. If you go about and start doing some things, it can cut your life short before your time. You can miss your glorious destiny as a result of certain things. It doesn't mean God hates you. He will prepare another season for you, possibly. And maybe you will be able to pick up that season. But if you fail to pick up that season, you will meet him in heaven, beautiful face smiling. And he will say, welcome, but you did not finish. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. The desire of God is for us to finish. But if by adventure anything happens and you do not finish the assignment here on earth, you are saved. You have life with Christ. But you don't know that the reason God puts you here is for an assignment. There will be no reward there because you did not do the assignment. You only came to school. Do you understand? Do you understand? You will not know the pain until we get to the other side of eternity. You will now realize that the way people serve God with devotion and commitment and attention, the kind of reward in heaven is going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. The reward is going to be wonderful. Because actually, what we are going to heaven to do is reward. It's a place of rewards. So just imagine that people are being rewarded. People are being rewarded, rather. And you are just there. Just Moshe Awoli. May that not be your portion. In the name of Jesus. I'll give room for questions. The Slido app is going to be put up tonight. I'll give room for questions. There are some things I want to say, but I think, let me leave them. So that the way we will accept different truths at different times will differ. But when I'm teaching something else some other time, I'll chip it in, and I think you'll be able to appreciate it more that time. Okay. So punishment is God's act of judging people, but discipline is his act of fathering them. And discipline means child training. So God is training us as children. Christ has paid for our sins. The punishment for our sins has been meted in Christ, but it will not stop God from disciplining his children. The aim is so that he will restore you. As a result of discipline, you will become better. God cannot write in scripture that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it and will not use rod of correction on us. He cannot say the rod and the staff, they comfort me, and you will not see rod and staff. Brothers and sisters, if the owner of a sheepfold discovers that a particular sheep is about to enter fire, will the owner of the sheep just say, sheepy, sheepy, my one, you know? Sheep does not hear, especially those of us that are very stubborn. Talking man born. What the owner of the sheep will do, if he can dive towards the direction of the fire and grab the sheep and throw it on the other side, even if the sheep hits the head on the wall, he knows he will not die. Because if he enters the fire, it will die. Unto some, hating their garments spotted with the flesh, snatching them from the fire. There are times you are trying to save a person from an incident, and after you have succeeded to save the person is now saying, why did you match me? But you know that this person would have died. So maybe a trailer is coming now, and the trailer is about to hit the person. As the trailer is coming, zoom, you just grab the person and fell on the person. And there is a stone that hit the person's head. You rather prefer that blood, because you were doing that for the safety of that person, than to see the bones of that person crushed. Sometimes that's what discipline is like. During the course of discipline, rod and staff can hook the sheep on the neck, and it will look as if, but the shepherd will still bring the sheep and look for balm or whatever and touch it and get it right. My intention is not to destroy you. I love you. I care about you. But if I see you going somewhere that will destroy your life, anything that it will take me, that is the meaning of the song. That there's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. That's the meaning of that song. So that you don't get it twisted. So that you don't see it in a different light. No, you must have a better understanding. Those who teach about the love of Jesus and the love of God in a very careless manner, it has caused a lot of people to live like fools without sense. But if you understand that it is the power of love to discipline me for my good. Oh, if my father did not flog me the days I was going to play snooker on midweek service days, I would have probably been in Philash right now. I can't forget the flogging. I must have said it like 2 times in this or 3 times or maybe 10 times. He used my hand to flog the wall. Like, this is the wall. He now positioned me like this. This is the wall. And you know your hand is shock, electric. I was playing betting Tuesday service like this. As people are here, there will be lights where we'll play snooker. I'll go and play. And by the time I saw this man, few days towards the end of his life, at his deathbed, tears rolled from my eyes. And I was saying, the man who saved my life, if he had left me, I would have been wild. if you had left me the way I was, I probably would not have known anything about this. No discipline is convenient initially, but it's for your good. Today I'm excited with the whole of my life that I was trained by a disciplinarian and not a careless father. I was trained by somebody. Yes, I know the beating was too much sometimes, but Jesus cannot be like that. God cannot be like that because he is perfect in all his ways. No, my father did some things I felt were extra. And I didn't know. I don't know, but at least I'm alive. Mi oku. Mo wa laye. Ah. At least I'm here. I'm here. But if he had left me the way we were going, while I was in GSS 1, GSS 2, Igbobi College, using the number of money, you know, money has 6 numbers. We predict the number, we're playing the dice. Roll your dice. Where I will go and buy this thing from those Malam women, touch and follow for girls. Kai. Ah, Jesus tried. Woman for suffer for my hand for this life. Jesus. I will buy touch and follow. I will organize my eyebrow like this. I'll package myself. I'll put extra oil on my lips. Then you will go to Ikeja under bridge and buy pink lips to make it cold da da. Babe, what's up? It's the same me that they will keep the whole guest like this and I will be normal. Ah, Jesus. It was as a result of discipline and training. It was not convenient. It was not a very easy thing at that point. But I had to embrace it. And when I embraced it, I stayed with it. And somehow, the tears of joy, of the pain of seeing him on his sick bed, I now remembered who sat and watched my infant head. When sleeping on my cradle bed, when a child is about to roll down from the bed, and the mother sees that the child is about to roll down, and she will risk her own life to pick the child. That is the correction and the discipline, because I don't want to lose you. So please always remember whatever it is that's happening around you. Ask yourself, if this is discipline, Lord, I embrace it. But I will not tolerate Satan messing up around my life. When I see something is from Satan and hell, I get it out of my life. But if as a result of my carelessness something happened, I say, God, I'm sorry. And it is to you that I have business. Satan is bringing voice of condemnation. I don't listen to Satan. I don't listen to God. You know why? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If a believer is crying for something wrong that he has done, and they are crying in my presence, I don't say stop crying. I allow them cry. You need to cry. If you don't cry, how do we know when we get to heaven? Why it didn't work? No, of course, they are not. I can't answer all the questions. But I know that if I see Jesus face to face, if I don't blow when I see him, because I just always imagine, I always tell you, when I imagine when I see him, whether I will just blow, I will evaporate, or I will just become air. I don't know. But just standing before my Lord, I don't know if I'll be able to stand or kneel or bow. Let him just disappear me. I don't want to stand before you and look at you. I don't know how it will feel. Are you getting what I'm saying here? But what I'm trying to say tonight is that you need to have an understanding as a believer, so that the way we live our lives, we understand that we have a high calling. He says, for you know, brethren, the nature of your calling. The nature of your calling. There is a calling upon your life. It has a nature. It is a special calling. It's a holy calling. It's a high calling. A calling that brings you to sit together with him in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. He says, you know, brethren, your calling. If you know the weight of this calling, it will be foolishness, or like a pig putting a nose ring, gold ring, in the nose of a swine, because it doesn't even know the value. It's gold, but it doesn't know the value. It will be like what the Bible says in the book of Psalms. It says, like a beast, a man in the place of honor and does not know, is like a beast that perish. In other words, the best way to say it, I'll try. I've been saying I will avoid using some kind of I'll try. Like, anytime ponle to ponrele. You know that kind of thing. Like, Someone that we honor, but is not even honoring himself.